Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
Are your teens getting enough sleep? Did the teens in the 50s get enough sleep? Do teens ever get enough sleep? You feel like they do because they sometimes sleep till 2 in the afternoon. But is there a great sleep recession? My guest today is Dr. Catherine Keyes. She's assistant professor of epidemiology at Columbia University. Welcome to the show, Dr. Keyes. So tell us about the study, about the changes in sleep duration among U.S. adolescents from 1991 to 2012. What's changed?
So what we were able to do was use a resource called the Monitoring the Future Project, which is an annual survey of 8th, 10th, and 12th grade high school attending adolescents on a whole range of health behaviors. And included in that is an assessment of how frequently each of the adolescents regularly obtains 7 or more hours of sleep. And what we did was look at that every year, the proportion of adolescents who they frequently get 7 or more hours of sleep for the last 20 plus years. And what we documented was that there has been significant declines in the proportion of adolescents who are reporting this outcome across all age groups and across demographic groups over the last 20 years.
Wow. So, you know, I'd like to take this study and show it to a ton of parents that I know that let their kids stay up so late, it's crazy, but with all of the stress, the electronics, the phones, the computers, the gaming systems, getting our kids to sleep would seem to be like a waste of their time. Now, Dr. Keyes, my kids, and I have a 14-year-old and a 12-year-old, and they both go to bed early, although they won't admit it to their friends, because I've insisted on it all of their lives. But they get up early, but I'd rather them go to bed early and get up early. So what are our kids missing out on by staying up so late and all these electronics and everything?
Sure. Well, there's a couple things. I mean, we know that even one night of impaired sleep can affect concentration and focus. A chronic pattern of achieving inadequate sleep or poor quality sleep can have significantly adverse consequences for, things like driver safety. With the decline of adolescents receiving adequate sleep, are we concerned about, potential increases in road accidents, in academic performance, in sports participation, and even with social interaction? So I think that the trend towards decreased sleep for adolescents is something we do need to be concerned about in terms of public health. And, for adolescents after age 15, what we found in the most recent years was that we didn't even achieve 50% of adolescents reporting that they regularly get 7 or more hours of sleep. So it's actually a minority of adolescents who are getting 7 or more hours of sleep. And for some age groups, it's below even 35%. One thing I would say, though, one of the reasons that we wanted to conduct the study is there's been so much written about and so much parental concern about the impact of smartphones and tablets and social media on kids' sleep in recent years. And, while at an individual level, there's certainly evidence to suggest that teens who excessively use devices and social media achieve less quality of sleep than those who do not. What we documented in this study was that we don't see that translating to the population level. Over the last 10 years, we haven't really seen major decreases in the proportion of adolescents receiving 7 or more hours of sleep. Where we saw most of the decreases was across the 1990s, which is a pre-iPhone, pre-Facebook era. So we really had to look to factors that might have been changing across the 1990s to explain the large population level historical trend we've seen in decreasing sleep.
So what's a parent to do?
There's a number of different
evidence. How do you change the habits? In my situation, I've had these kids going to bed early since they were little. So they're used to it. They don't fight it. But for a parent that hasn't, and their kids are now 14, 15, 16, oh, mom, please, I've got homework. There's a chat going on. What do you say to the parents? How can they change this?
Right. I mean, certainly is a conversation that you want to begin early, and it's a pattern that you want to begin early. We all had bedtime routines and sleep routines with our, preschool age children, and I think one of the evidence-based guidelines that's been recommended is to keep a bedtime, nighttime routine, even for adolescents, and frankly, even for yourself. But if you haven't been doing that, like you said, you know, I think that health literacy messages to adolescents about the, you know, how to achieve your goals adequately by getting a good night's sleep and how much sleep impacts, you know, adversely your ability to perform these multiple role functions, you know, and trying to keep consistency between weeknight and weekend sleep is another strong evidence-based guideline so that, you know, you don't have this what's known as kind of social jet lag where you've been staying up late and sleeping till noon on the weekend and then you come in for school Monday morning essentially with jet lag. And then it takes you a couple days to kind of get over that and then you're in this vicious cycle. So really try to keep the consistency on weeknights and weekends. Keep a nighttime bedtime routine and health literacy messages to adolescents about the importance for functioning in all these different roles that adolescents want to perform in of getting a good night's sleep.
Oh, it's just, it's so important. It really is. And as you say, the difference between the weeknights and the weekends. And the weekends, they could stay up till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and then feel fine about sleeping till 3 or 4 in the afternoon. But really, right, that changes that biological clock just so completely. And then Monday morning, boom, they've got early bird physics and up they have to be. So it's exactly just such a, you know, difficult thing for the kids, Dr. Keys. So trying to get our kids onto these rhythms and explaining to them about driving and studying and thinking clearly, all of these things may make a difference, but then there's all those electronics calling their names,
right,
and the group chats,
exactly,
and all these things.
Yeah.
So tell us from the study, what do you think is the most important message from the study that you want parents to hear?
You know, I think the broader message of the study is one for both parents, educators, and as a public health community, you know, really recognizing that what we're seeing is a long-term historical decline in the proportion of adolescents who are achieving sleep. You know, there's this perception for every adolescent that group that comes through that well, you know, that adolescents have never gotten enough sleep. Or adolescents have always changed their sleep patterns. But really what we're seeing in this study, where we've measured it every single year for the last 22 years, is a long historical decline. And this is concerning. This is concerning on a lot of different levels because there are both short and long-term consequences to teens not achieving adequate sleep. So, you know, I think the message is a little bit broader than kind of parent to parent. For a specific parent, you know, make sure you're advocating these health messages to your adolescent. But as a community, we really need to think about what this means in terms of these historical declines in these rates of adolescent sleep, and then portend what the potential consequences are for adolescent and adult health if these trends continue.
Well, just wrap it up in the last minute for us, Dr. Keys, of a summary of how much sleep for parents that are questioning and looking at the study, how much sleep you think teens really do need to perform adequately all those other tasks.
Well, the current recommendation from the National Sleep Foundation, which uses evidence-based and expert consensus, is that adolescents should be receiving 8 to 10 hours a night of sleep. So that really is the guideline that we want to go off on in terms of educating adolescents and parents about how much sleep their adolescents should be getting.
So 8 to 10 hours, you know, really for most parents is definitely a tough thing to sell. But parents, you can really work with your kids and start early, as Dr. Keys said, in getting your kids to try and get on some kind of a sleep pattern, because as she's shown in this study, the declining sleep is going to lead to your children being overtired. They will be less healthy. They will not be as alert when they're taking driver's education, when they're taking their, you know, SATs, and they're taking these tests and they're doing, you know, high school things. They need to have a good night's sleep. You've heard me talk about it on this show before. It's certainly a passion of mine. I am definitely a sleep police in this household. And so you should be too, parents. Take away those electronics for a good hour before your kids go to sleep at night. Turn off the gaming systems and the television. Have your kids kind of wind down and stop studying for a little while and maybe just read a book or talk with you. Ooh, there's a novel idea. You're listening to Healthy Children right here on Radio MD. Thanks for listening and stay well.